SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The Pimps, the Players, the Hustlers, the people that bust up, and everybody else in between throwing it down. The Friday Night Free Show has begun. Sirius XM channel 159. We've got Tony Finn kick with us straight from the strip, Area 51. And of course, been an interesting week in Area 51, but people are so desensitized to everything. They've been told that there's alien life form that has crash landed on Earth. And people are like, wow, did the Braves cover the run line tonight? So Tony Finn from Area 51. And you know, Tony's just going to be more. Tony's not worried about aliens either. He's worried about the Los Angeles Dodgers, no doubt. So Tony Finn will kick it with us. Countdown to kickoff is on Mike Tenier, New York Times. Mike Tenier in the house. We talk football with Mike. We talk a little football tonight with the Big E, Eric Cohen. We talk baseball with Cohen as well. Cohen was actually in attendance this evening for the Toronto Blue Jay Los Angeles Angels baseball game, a baseball game that saw Shohei Ohtani hit another home run, his first pitch. It was a pretty eventful night, actually, tonight in Toronto. So the Blue Jays won the baseball game 4-1. The Angels had the bases loaded in the ninth inning, but Ohtani had to be pinch hit for because he was suffering from cramps. Yet I think he's got like a back issue. I think Ohtani has a lot of different issues, which shows just how good he, like, we already know how amazing he is, but I don't even think he's healthy. Like, everyone's watching him. We're all watching him. You see, he's always, you notice by the last few at bats of games, he's done. Yeah, I noticed that last week he was batting. He just sort of swung at three pitches. He wanted to get in and out of there quickly, you could see. And he was sort of like, ugh. You get to sort of tell, yeah, you know, something's off with him. Yeah, he's playing through. He's trying to carry his baseball team into the playoffs. It was a big-time win, though, tonight. Matt Chapman got into it with John Schneider in the dugout, the Toronto Blue Jays. Not really, you know, getting into it. He sort of asked, he said, what the hell are we pitching to Ohtani for? Yet he also insulted every other Angels player. And I'm sure the Angel players didn't know about this. Otherwise, you know, it would have been a different, probably different scenario. So I'm expecting Chapman to get hit tomorrow. If Chapman doesn't get hit tomorrow with like the first pitch, you know that baseball has become seriously ass wussified. Yet I do not believe that baseball is wussified. I don't like a lot of the rule changes, but I don't think it's wussified in the sense. Like, I do believe that the guys understand. I don't know if there's a book. Frank Robinson told me there's no book. People talk about being a book and all this. He goes, it's in the book and the code and all that. We got the Big E, Eric Cohen. Cohen was in attendance at this baseball game. So Ohtani left with cramps. Chapman got into it with the manager that's developing into a story after the game in Toronto. And then Jordan Romano, the Blue Jays closer, he got hurt at the end of the game. He closed the game and then he got hurt. And remember, he hurt his back. He's had some back issues. Had it at the All-Star game as well. It's a weird night tonight. So, like, that Blue Jay game was strange. Everybody got hurt late. Romano got hurt. Ohtani got hurt. Chapman gets into it with the manager. And then, meanwhile, a super stupid, crazy, stupid, dumb game in the CFL tonight. That the Hamilton Tiger Cats threw 5 interceptions. Ottawa somehow didn't win the game. You know, if the other team throws 5 interceptions, you should probably win. Let's roll. The Late Night Anchor Man's request. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The Pimps, the Players, the Hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. The Friday Night Freak Show has begun. I am Morenci. Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. We're talking baseball. We're talking football. We're talking combat sports, UFC 291. We're talking NFL football, college football, CFL football. Mike Tenier will join us. Mike Tenier, New York Times contributor. Talk some NFL football with Mike. We've got Tony Finn kicking with us. Straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada, Area 51. We'll focus in on some college football and, of course, Major League Baseball with Tony. Shohei Ohtani hits his 39th home run of the season. He had to leave the game late due to cramps. He was pinch hit late. And it's crazy because when he came, if he would have come up, the bases would have been loaded, but shoulda, coulda, woulda. We don't know if that would have been the case. Ohtani now has 39 home runs on the season. Over the last 50 years, the only American League players with more home runs before the month of August, Aaron Judge last year, 42, Ken Griffey Jr., 1998, 41. It's basically on a daily basis, as in, like, what record, what did Ohtani do today to put himself amongst the all-time greats once again? But the Toronto Blue Jays did win the baseball game, and it's a pretty big series, actually. You wouldn't think that the Angels and the Jays would be a big series, but when you consider the wild card situation, it actually is and was, as the Angels came into tonight's play three games behind the Toronto Blue Jays for the wild card spot. So it's craziness. Everyone got hurt tonight. Ohtani's got cramps. Jordan Romano got hurt. People are going to get hurt tomorrow in the Octagon, UFC 291. We're breaking it down. There's a lot of stuff to unpack. We got a full house on the program. This is Sports Rage. Vent it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. It's the Friday Night Freak Show. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pitch, the players, the hustlers, the people to bust them, and everybody else in between. Countdown to kickoff is on four Saturdays. So it's Friday night, Saturday. If you're on the East Coast, we're kicking it West Coast style. Four Saturdays from now, college football starts, and the NFL season's rapidly approaching. Like, the NFL is, like, right around the corner as well. And, you know, we'll bring Tony in a second here from Tony Finn from Wager Talk. But I've talked a lot about how if you're going to be betting on totals, you got to pull the trigger on the under, and I've been saying it a lot, but case in point, look at Jalen Ramsey, Miami Dolphins. You know, big acquisition, helped their secondary. Jalen Ramsey's going to be out for the year. Joe Burrow. I didn't think much of the Joe Burrow stuff at first. All right, Joe Burrow hurt his calf, strained calf. You know, he's taken off the field. Yet now, it's like, no, this is like getting real here suddenly. Now they're talking about weeks, and Joe Burrow is constantly, like, missed training camp. And, you know what I mean? And eventually it's going to catch up. Like, he comes back. Is this just the start of things to come? As I stated, man, my line was nothing good can happen. I don't even know why they have training camp. I'm not even kidding. Like, have a little bit, like, a mini little, like, college. Seriously, college does a couple of weeks of practice, and then they start the season. Like, all this, they overdo it, and you're just begging for somebody to get hurt. Just start the damn season. People are going to get hurt anyways. Like, it's not like, you know, we got to get, like, ready. Yeah, you can get ready, but as you see, we're not even in August yet. So Joe Burrow is out, and we're not saying he's going to be out for the year, but it seems to be a more significant injury than originally thought. And Jalen Ramsey's going to be out for the year now. We're not even in August yet. It's going to be a bloodbath this year. Tony Finn steps up and in. Wager Talk in the house, Area 51. Yep. How you doing, Tony?
I'm good. We're doing it's kind of a little busy around the hood tonight. They're doing we started doing a roast for the Oakland, now Vegas A's. We figured we'd go ahead and roast them right now before they get here and play. And dare I say, disappoint everybody.
I didn't see this coming. So what's in Oakland? I don't understand.
I just want to tell you about the roast.
So what is the roast, Tony?
The roast? We're roasting. Well, it's not a traditional roast. I mean, it's not food. If that's what you mean. No, I'm kidding. What it is we're a roast. We're basically talking poorly about the A's right now so we can get it out of the way. And that way, there's no place to go but where? Up.
Well, the A's aren't in Vegas yet. We're still a couple of years away.
Well, yeah, that's what we're talking about. We figure we got 2 years. In 2 years, we can pretty much say everything, and there'll be nothing left derogatory to say. And then we can, you know, we can root them on to the World Series. The first, well, it wouldn't be the first, but it'd be the first time a team moved less than if you lived here in Vegas and you know this, Gabe. A team that moved within the blackout zone, right? They moved within the blackout zone and made it to the playoffs or something crazy, World Series. I don't know. We'll move on. I know I'm boring you with the roasting. We could talk about UFOs.
I don't know. I was just thinking if someone read a transcript of everything you were saying right now and just sort of looked at it, and they'd be like, I still don't understand.
Well, that's what good. Meant. Yeah, I don't want you to. Yeah. No.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. It's one of these
nights. Have you been roasted, Gabe? You've been roasted, haven't you? Before, you're famous.
Yeah, I get roasted daily, Tony. Like, I don't need to get roasted. Like, I get roasted in my life today. Like, no. No, but no, I haven't had a celebrity roast, if that's what you mean. Pauly Shore. Pauly Shore hasn't, ripped me or anything like that on the Comedy Network. No. So, no, I've never been roasted before.
Do you know Pauly Shore?
I do not know him personally. Is this going somewhere, Tony? Did we just lose Tony now? You know? He asked me if I know Pauly Shore, and then he's just gone. He opens up with something about a roast in Oakland. It's like, what was he even talking about? This is like some old school classic Tony Finn tonight, evidently. I don't know, like Tony got into like this, like that Hunter S. Thompson, like Vegas tonight. He's talking about a roast in the Oakland Athletics. Number one, nobody cares about the Oakland Athletics. That's why they're moving from Oakland. And number one, he's talking to me about Pauly Shore. No, I don't know Pauly Shore, Tony. No, I don't know. I know who he is, but no, I don't know him personally.
Well, am I back? Can you
why?
Hear me now?
Yes. Why are you asking me if I know Pauly Shore?
Because I just wanted to know if you knew anything about. I don't know him, but I kind of like him. You know, it's,
all right.
But you only like his personality. You know what I mean? So it doesn't mean that's who he is. That's all.
His mother runs the comedy store on Sunset Boulevard.
Yes, so that's right. Yeah,
I've come as close. That's his. You know, maybe he's been there and I've been there and I didn't know, Tony. But I was just saying while we were reconnecting with you. Yeah, you're kind of out here. You come in to me with an Oakland roast, Pauly Shore, and everything else. Normally, you just open up crying about the Dodgers.
Well, that's because I could cry a little bit about a few things tonight, but I can't. I can always do that. We can always do that as gamers. So I'm not going to do it. I'm going to be a glass half full. We're going to talk about who's going to win, who's going to lose in football, baseball, and soon to be basketball. Not very long from now. You were talking about before I came on. I was listening. You said, you know, before you know it, football's going to be here. Hell, before you know it, Gabe. It's going to be the playoffs of football. In a blink of an eye, we're going to be past Christmas and talking about playoffs, you know? And talking about baseball again.
No, everything will sort of merge together. Time does go by fast. And the baseball season is rolling along pretty quickly right now. You know, we're going to be into the final 2 months of play. And normally, you know, these games don't really... They're not as intense as they have been so far. So one thing we can give credit to baseball for that it's not credit to Rob Manfred. He didn't do anything. But there's a lot of good teams this year, right? You look at the American League and the battle for the wild card. It's going to be extremely competitive and fun. And it's going to come down to the final weekend probably. And then just overall in the big picture, I'm not going to say anyone could win, but the Braves could win the World Series. The Dodgers could win the World Series. The Astros could win the World Series.
stuff.
Some people are starting to believe the Baltimore Orioles could win the World Series. Maybe the Tampa Bay Rays. Like, we can go on and on. There's no definitive team that, like, can't be beat when you look at the big picture.
And 2 weeks ago, you would have said, you know, Cincinnati Reds can win the World Series.
I wouldn't have.
Big run.
Even though they're beating the Dodgers right now, but no, I don't.
Yeah. No, I'm one of those. That's nice. That was a nice spiel. It really is. It was a half glass full or a half full glass, however you want to mention it, about a lot of good teams. Or you could say there's a lot of teams, a lot of mediocre or just above average teams. The Dodgers aren't as strong as they were last year. The pitching staff, although they're hitting the ball fine right now. The Braves, there's a reason why all their totals are 10. There's two reasons why their totals are 10. And that is because they can hit the crap out of the ball and they're not pitching very well.
That's
right?
A good point. Suddenly, you're right. Yeah, well, that's absolutely. My whole point. Like, if anyone played anybody, you can make an argument like that anyone could really beat anybody. I don't know about the National League, though, besides the Braves and the Dodgers. I guess you can make an argument for the Phillies.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think you could, too. I think you can, too, and I think that it's Houston. I don't the same AL, but I'm saying there's teams like Houston that we talked about it last week that I considered saying no to making the playoffs, and right now they're still the favorites, really, even above Texas, to be in the AL champ.
The late night anger management class. We're gonna give Tony Finn some electroshock during the break. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I'm an artist. You? An artist?
Your husband's work is what we call outsider art. It could be by a mental patient or a hillbilly or a chimpanzee.
Less than a week to the NFL preseason. We've got a football score going on here right now at Petco. 7-0 San Diego over the Texas Rangers. And Tony Finn with us, and Tony's been pretty insistent, although Tony likes that mezcal, that crazy tequila stuff. So that's why I like San Diego so much. Tony won't let it go. He's like, you know, maybe they can still turn the corner, maybe they've flipped the switch. I actually do think if you look, I don't think, it's factual, but if you look at Texas, have had a rough week. You know, since they played the Dodgers racked up a million runs on them. You know, the Astros series, now San Diego up 7-0. I believe that Houston are going to win this division, and we see San Diego up on Texas 7-0 right now, Tony.
Yeah, listen, they have had a rough time, but they played so well early on, and you and I have talked about it a couple times. Their situational hitting was terrific. Tampa Bay's, Texas, their average, at least their batting average with runners in scoring position, over the top, unsustainable. And now you're seeing some of that negative regression for both teams, for Tampa Bay and for Texas. This is still a team that has the highest batting average. They put the ball in play. They don't strike out a whole lot. If you look at Musgrove tonight, I think he had five. Last time I checked, he had five strikeouts or something. And if you look through box scores of the Rangers or finals, you'll find where, you know, their 24% strikeout percentage, at least as a team, is one of the better team. Is one of the better percentages in the league, and it really makes a difference. Put the ball in play, you know that. Put the ball in play.
He finished with five.
Small ball.
He did finish with five. Musgrove. With five. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was under. That was an under. Obviously, I think he was. I thought he was pretty low at 5.5. But there you go. See these.
Yeah, but he doesn't always go over, even though he's been super effective. He sort of checks in around 5 or 6, right? 4, 5, 6.
Right.
But man, he's been good, and they do win when he pitches. Like, that's been the one consistent.
Yes.
I don't really look at pitchers' one loss records, although now he's going to be 10-3. But it's funny, we used to, but I don't really look at pitchers' one loss records now. But I do look, Tony, something that is a big part of my handicap is I know what the team's record is when a guy starts. Like, I do look. You know what I mean? I am aware of that. Yeah. That's more critical to me than his one-loss record. Because there's just some guys. Luke Weaver's a good example. Like, Weaver's like the worst pitcher, literally and figuratively. Luke Weaver set a record. He's like the worst pitcher in the last 100 years, Tony, to win nine straight games, to have his team win nine straight games, despite, like, giving up a million runs. You know what I mean? Like, the Reds always win when Weaver pitches, even though he gets lit up like a spliff on the back of Snoop Dogg's tour bus.
Yeah, I guess when you say worst, I mean, what we're talking, it's kind of subjective in terms of, right? And I know what you're saying.
No, worst. I'll get you the exact stat.
Oh, yeah, well, hard contact over the top for Weaver. He doesn't miss enough bats, and I've said it, I'll say it again, and people disagree with me all the time that you can be a good pitcher and not strike batters out. Well, you can't survive, 35 starts in Major League Baseball without missing bats. These guys are professional hitters, and I've talked about this too. I still think they've switched balls. We've seen a lot of runs in the second half of the season. I know the weather's warming, but the ball's jumping.
How about this, guys?
Exit velocity's up, et cetera, huh?
I don't know. Maybe the balls are juice, but this is Luke Weaver. Luke Weaver has an 8.79 ERA over his last 10 starts. The Reds are 9-1 in those 10 games. All right? So they're 9-1 in his last 10 starts. Over his last 10 starts, Weaver has 8.79 ERA, a 1.952 whip. Six strikeouts per nine innings. Opposing batters are hitting .348. All right. So get this. Weaver's 8.79 ERA is the highest in a 10-game start span for any pitcher whose team has won at least nine games since ERA became an official stat in 1913. Like, that's one, like, that's embarrassing if you're Luke Weaver. Like, basically, you're the biggest weak link since 19. Like, it's a miracle. You know why? The Reds have averaged 7.8 runs per game when he starts. They know he sucks. They need to score.
Well, and I would say this. It would seem to me is if he's going to be that bad, then he has to be that bad at, Great American, because that's really where Cincinnati's at their best, at least offensively. If you look at their splits, you'll find that they're a much better team at home. Much of it has to do with the dimensions and the fly of the ball there at Great American for certain. And the way they approach each at bat and how they're swinging for launch angle, et cetera, all those sabermetrics that, as much as I want to complain about them, make a difference in this day and age, in this environment of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, but baseball, people, I get it. I do believe, I get it. Some of these analytics and numbers are true. And for the record, everybody, we're going to get to this, but guess who's pitching tomorrow? Luke Weaver. So, against the Dodgers, right? Against the Dodgers. So, Luke Weaver. But this is why I'm saying, like, baseball is strange. You can pitch well and lose and win. And a classic example, so we just talked about how Weaver is the only pitcher ever, going back to 1913, to somehow the team won nine of his games with his ERA of 8.79 in that span. But get this, between May 14th and May 25th, Luke Weaver had three starts. He had a 2.81 earned run average, a 1.250 whip. The Reds won 0-3 in those games, right? So that's why,
support him, right?
Yeah, but I just think that's why starting pitching is too much of a talking point when people handicap baseball.
Yeah, I don't pay much attention to ERA. I mean, it's a surface. It's the most deceiving statistic in sports. I mean, I know that we can argue about that, and there's other things that are deceiving, and football, basketball, et cetera, but baseball made that pretty convenient. ERA. Strikeouts, walks, whip. They made all those that are really not, they just don't dig deep enough. Those stats don't dig deep enough and tell you enough, and you just and you laid it out.
What's the most pertinent stat for a pitcher, then, in your opinion, for a handicapping purposes?
I'm more about XERA or FIP, an XFIP, or Sierras even. We'll go even deeper than that, and I pull home runs out, and basically it's weighted. I don't care about records or runs, you know, per game. I want to know about exit velocity. I want to know how much soft contact, how much hard contact, and more than anything, the most telling. Yeah, the most important pitch in baseball is a changeup. It's not the fastball. And the most important result from a changeup, swings and misses, no walks. Command. If you can't command a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, you're still not gonna. You're not gonna win. You're not gonna beat these hitters. They're gonna either walk.
No, I get the bat flip and, you know, the hard hit contact is real, right? I buy into that one. I do buy into that one, but there's a million, and they keep coming up with new ones. Like, and they just, it's sort of like Elon Musk. They just add X to it. Oh, no, it's not bad. It's not like OPS plus, not OPS, OPS plus, right? There's all this new stuff all the time, and you have to sort of sift through it. For me in football, you're right, though. In the older days, whip was a big one, right? That's what the hipsters, they were like, oh, don't worry about ERA. What's the whip? The whip, right? It's sort of like it's like a horse with their numbers. The whip, the whip, the whip. And people buy into that, and I get it. But for me, and now they've taken it a whole, like now these, you know, the DFS players and the numbers geeks and stuff have 8,000 of these stats. But it used to be the walk, the strikeout to walk ratio, right? And you know what I mean? The walk ratio is a big one, but we don't really see that many walks anymore, Tony. I like to see that, actually. I like, they're less, everybody swings at everything. So there's not as many walks anymore. Like, if you look at a walk prop on a nightly basis, everybody's always 1.5 for the most part.
Pretty much, you're right. There's guys that, you know, for me, there are pitchers that from season to season, people will say, I don't get it. I don't understand. This guy had such a terrific year last year. What happened overnight? It's a really small mechanical changes that are the difference between a pitcher being, having a competitive or maybe even an elite ERA or walk to baseball, a base on balls to strikeout ratio, those kind of things. But command is all about release point technique, a little bit of confidence. But if you can't command your arsenal, you can't win. You're going to walk people. We saw this last week. I've seen pitchers have 5-6 walks in a game, and it didn't have anything to do with the home plate umpire and his.
They're usually kids, though. They're usually the younger kids.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, you know, Manoa had a problem. He's kind of younger, getting over to play. I'm not saying no one throws walks anymore. It's walks, but people swing at everything, so there's not as many of them. True. Some of the smart guys, unfortunately for me, I know, because I've got Mookie Betts over 1.5 total bases tonight, and he keeps walking. Like, it keeps angering me. It's like, bro, swing the bat, bro. Stop being so smart. You know?
Yeah. I would say this. I'm glad you brought Manoa up, because if we talk about, I'd like to talk a little bit if we have time. Toronto, that game tomorrow. I really, one RBI by Bichette tonight was a big, big night for me. But that happens. I still pick up a couple units, and it's on to the next night. But Manoa's numbers since he's returned from the compound in Florida, the walk, no strikeouts, lots of walks, no walks, lots of strikeouts, really confusing.
Tony's voice just doesn't cut through that metal, does it? 6-5, Cincinnati Reds. Dodgers chipping away, coming back. We're in the top of the 8th inning right now. The late night anger management class continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wanna come with me and Wally to the Super Bowl?
Oh, absolutely. My favorite team's in it. The Atlanta Falcons. Yeah, ever since I was a boy, I've always loved the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, they're good, but I wouldn't count out the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I hear that President Clinton is gonna be watching with his wife, Hillary.
This is Sports Rage. All right, so we didn't get to this actually yet. I did off the intro off the top, I believe on Sirius, but just to recap a little bit. So Otani hit a home run tonight in the first inning. I cashed the ticket, too. Anybody that tuned in to Game Time Decisions tonight knows. I said, how the hell are we not taking Otani to hit a home run with these short porches in Toronto? And he hit the first pitch he saw. Second batter, first pitch, boom, home run. Smoked it. Put it, like, in their little new club deck zone up there. And, like, he really crushed it. And after the inning, Matt Chapman, like, lost it and confronted John Schneider. I don't know if you've seen the video yet, Tony. I retweeted it, actually, so you can just sort of see it, or if you haven't seen it. But basically, so it's the first inning, bro. So it's like top of the first is over. Chapman's third baseman goes, and Chapman's a great third, but goes back to the dugout, and he goes up to Schneider angrily, and he says, you know, why the F did we just pitch to that guy? And then he says, and you can totally read his lips and see, he said, he's the only effing guy on that team that can hit, man. Why would we pitch to him? And that was the first inning. So they shook it off after. And Chapman said after, listen, I'm a competitive guy. It was the heat of the moment. And Schneider said, I don't care. Said, whatever. He goes, as a manager, there's going to be stuff where you'll disagree with some of your players. And he goes, I like his passion. My deal is, though, you just disrespected the Angels pretty good. When you just said, you're the only guy, there's only one guy, he's the only guy on that effing team that can hit. Why would we pitch to him? And Chapman's kind of a code guy, and he seemed embarrassed after the game, Tony. He was kind of like, you know, I made a mistake. And he said, I shouldn't have said, like, but he didn't apologize to the Angels. It was just more, they were more like, oh, you confronted John Schneider in a dugout, the Toronto media. I guarantee you that Chapman, being the type of guy he is, he's going to go up to the batting cage in the morning and apologize to them. But I wouldn't care. It's not enough. I'm old school, Tony. I don't know, like, if you agree with me, but I'm hitting him tomorrow, first pitch. Like, if I'm the pitcher, I'm standing up for my guys, and I'm hitting him, bro. You can't say that about my guys.
Yeah.
Like, that's disrespectful.
Yeah,
I'm hitting you. Who the hell are you, Matt Chapman? Shut up. I'm hitting you.
Here's what I would have said to Matt. I would have said, listen, Matt, less than two outs, base loaded. I need you to put the ball in play, idiot.
Yeah.
Swing and miss.
That's a good point. You know what I mean? Schneider didn't say anything back. Imagine doing that to Tommy Lasorda. Imagine being a player going up to Tommy Lasorda and getting in his face after the first inning. Lasorda would have said that to him, Tony. He would have said, why don't you stop effing grounding out to the shortstop all the time and shut up? That's what Lasorda would have said.
You're the champ of fly balls to the warning track. So Chapman, shut up. Even if he's right, and he's not wrong.
No, he's not wrong.
Per se, no. But and you should. I wouldn't listen. I'm animal school. I would be throwing at Chapman probably not once, maybe even twice. Next time you come, if you're gonna say stuff like that, make sure it's in your house. And if you're gonna say it in my house, it's the equivalent of, you know, if you're gonna dunk on me, the next time you come to the rim, you're gonna go to the free throw line or
this is hot. This is like
room, one of the two.
No, this is like hockey or football. I'm gonna put it in hockey terms though.
Yeah.
It's like. Yeah. Somebody lit your guy up. You've got, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Somebody just lit our goalie up. But the thing is, like, so imagine you're a pitcher, guys, on the Angels. And so you're a hitter on the Angels, but you got dissed like this. You're a pitcher on the Angels. Not to mention, the Angels almost have the same almost record as the Blue Jays. So what the hell is Chapman talking about? Right? It's not like you're way better than they are. That's another thing. So I'm just saying, if you're a pitcher on the Angels and you don't do anything about this, you're like, well, it's not my problem. I'm not a hitter. Why, let's say you were a pitcher and somebody stormed a mound at you. Why would the offensive guys in the field want to come to your defense? They'd be like, this guy didn't have our back. Why would he have his back? And I'm just telling you, guys, like, I played sports, so I know how this stuff works, and I guarantee you. The Angels pitcher tomorrow knows. And, you know, if I ever want to go out to dinner with these guys again, if I ever want to go to the club again with them again, I've got to hit this guy, like, point blank. It's just the way it is. I've got to hit him. And I tell you, you wouldn't have to tell Don Drysdale this. That's my guy, Tony. Don Drysdale said, I never intentionally walked anybody. He goes, I wasn't asked a lot to intentionally walk people, but when I was, he goes, I just hit them. Why waste three pitches? I like that.
In this day and age, on a pitch count, right? Absolutely right. That's, well, now we have the automatic, you know, here, just send him to first base so I don't hit him, I guess, or we don't get in that argument or in that predicament, per se. But I'll say this, Gabe, and that is that Reed Detmers.
Yeah, it's Detmers tomorrow.
Left hand. Oh, he can – listen, not only can he hit you, but he's his release is deceiving.
Oh,
and
bro, this is going to be must-see TV, Tony, because Detmers is – he knows Detmers is going to hit someone, and Manoah is not going to take it. Manoah's going to stand up for his guy. You know what I mean? Manoah's the exact guy. He's going to be like, I don't care what Chapman said. You're not doing this.
Yes.
I'm going to hit you now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, I got to watch the first inning of this game tomorrow, Tony.
Yeah. But then, of course, I would say, as the announcer of the game, I would say, well, we played this scenario out. We Gabe and I talked about it, but I'm not so certain that Manoah's just not that damn wild now that he's going to hit somebody even when he's not trying to.
That's the other thing. I'd be like, say, listen, I don't know where it's going. I've told a story, though, Tony. I'll just tell you quickly about it. But, like, it's going back with Ergeth Urbina, who was, like, a real, like, he was really nuts, for real, real. And, and you know, of course, he went back to Venezuela and tied 12 people up on a chair and poured gasoline on him and set him on fire, right? Like, he was nuts, for real. So Urbina was the Expos and the San Francisco Giants, and the Giant players were chirping. They were, like, really going at it. Like, it was, like, getting ugly and stuff. And people were throwing at each other, and it was, like, old school. Now everyone gets warned right away, like little school kids. Oh, no, you can't do that. So the old days, people were throwing everyone's heads. So it was getting crazy. And the guys on the Giants were chirping, like, Urbina and Felipe Alou said, yo, because dugouts are kind of close. Like, and you know what I mean? They can hear each other, the managers, if they want to. So Alou looked over to Dusty Baker, and he's like, stop. Like, he's like, and basically finally sort of got up, and he yelled over, and he said, like, basically, it's not baseball to him. I won't be able to stop him. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, don't, he telling, he said, tell your guys to, like, stop, like, don't upset Urbina. And basically, like, he told him, he's not going to throw at you. He's going to, like, he's going to stab you or shoot you, like, in the parking lot after. Like, it's, this is, like,
yeah,
it was basically, like, this isn't a game to him. Like, don't talk to him. Like, they basically, they were like, no. Like, they didn't, they were warning the Giants, don't upset him for real, man. Like, no. Like, say what you want to us, but don't say anything to him. Sort of like upsetting Albert Bell in the old days, bro. You know, the guy was crazy.
Romanowski.
Romo, another one.
Yes, absolutely.
All that fish oil.
I've played with some guys that were kind of really strange between the lines, in football, between the lines, just absolutely bipolar. You know, they get on the sidelines after the game. Didn't even, you could ask them a question about the game. I don't remember that. It's just really weird stuff, you know, where people just get that way. And Urbina, was that exactly as you described him. He was
hardcore, fun, bro.
But he was crazy.
He was good, but he had ice in his veins. If you remember, his mother got taken hostage. Like, his mother got kidnapped for ransom during the World Series. Yeah. They figured, it'll throw him off. He pitched that night. Right? Like, he literally, that's why I remember he said, I'll deal with this after. And he pitched.
That's right.
But it was fascinating. I remember, I learned a lot. Like, Dusty Baker's been around. But I remember, too, Frank Robinson. They stole a base. The Expos stole a base. They were up, like, 8-2. And they stole a base, and Dusty Baker lost it, like, for real, real. And the thing is, Frank Robinson and Dusty Bakers are good buddies, but Dusty was chirping him and, like, really mad about it, and, oh, you know what I mean, like, broke the code and all that. And Frank had a great answer after. He goes, man, because I've been in the game for 50 years. He goes, I never seen any book. He talked about the unwritten book. He goes, there's no book. And then Frank goes, there's no code, man. He goes, all this code. He started dropping at pumps. He was having codes. He goes, codes. And then he had the best line ever, man. And only Frank could do this and insult his own team in the process by going, why'd I steal the base? Have you seen my effing bullpen? That's what he said. What an answer, right? Yeah. He goes, I told Dusty, have you seen my bullpen? Have you seen my effing bullpen? That's why I stole a base up six. Makes sense. He said, there ain't no code. And he also had a good line. He goes, Dusty never told me he was going to promise to try to come, not to come back and win the game, did he? It's true.
That's right. There are leagues and there are tournaments and where runs scored matters too. A run differential is one of the tiebreakers. So forget about it. There are codes. There are certain codes.
Gabe Kapler is the king of that, right? In which he really upsets people late. And I like what he said. He goes, "We're not here just to win a game. We're here to like wear everybody out over the season." Like, he's not just looking to win. Like, he wants to win the series and screw you over and you're going to use as many pitchers as you have to. And it's like he just feels in that relentless, we're going to make this as hard on you as possible. And it's not our problem, right? It's not our problem. We can score 18 runs and run through all your pitchers, and that's an advantage for us tomorrow. That's what we're going to do. That's the way he thinks, and he's admitted it. And I don't have a problem with that.
Me either. I'm a big proponent of that, actually. I'm a big proponent of teams not liking other teams, players not...
Well, what did you think the other day, Tony? Remember Garcia and the Grand Slam, 13-3, that ended, didn't end well, right, at home plate?
No, it didn't, but Garcia, I think that the Rangers were correct on that. Basically, that's between the lines, where there's all kinds of talk, and we have no idea. People have no idea how much crap goes on between the lines. You do, but a lot of people don't. And
yeah, who knows what was said? It was actually right. Marcus Semien, because people thought it was Garcia. Did he take too long and whatever? Another thing is, he overreacted, but it was Marcus Semien.
Yes, he did.
Semien's came in and touched home plate before Garcia did. And I don't know, he did like this little hop and jumped on top of it in front of Maldonado, and Maldonado didn't like that. So he noticed, and then Garcia arrived home, and then it just sort of, he was like, and like you said, there was no love lost, and God knows what is said between these dudes sometimes. Especially the modern player, Tony. I like it, though. The game has been fun this year. It's spirited. You can tell a lot of teams don't like each other for real.
I don't like, here's what I don't like, and I don't like kissing in the center circle. Magic, Isaiah.
Oh, you're one of those, like, what are these guys hugging each other for the game?
Yes, that's right.
I have a funny hockey story about that, about a steakhouse. The Late Night Anger Management Class, this is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, yeah. Quickest 100 Amits in Sports Talk Radio continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morency. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. I look forward to seeing what Tony has up his sleeve as far as the overnight baseball card. We've got a nice, nice weekend of sports, actually. UFC 291, Major League Baseball, Women's World Cup, some big boxing. We've got... CFL football and countdown to kickoff is on. We got Mike Tenier going to join us in level two tonight. We'll talk NFL football. We got the big Eric Cohen. So, Tony, still 6-5 right now in this game. And I don't like a lot of overs, and I don't bet a lot of overs when it comes to baseball, even though I should. It's just not in my DNA. You know what I mean? I bet a lot of baseball props, so I'm not like, oh, I like the over. But we like the over this Dodger game tonight. It ends up getting there. It was a pretty high number for a Dodger game, but it does end up getting there. I did like the run in the first inning, 6-5 right now. What did you play in the Dodger game tonight, if anything?
I didn't play the Dodgers game tonight, and I didn't play the Dodgers game for good reason. I didn't trust Bobby Miller at that price. No. Well, exactly. Not that price. And that's the whole story right there. You don't have to go any further than that. I mean, Miller's a better pitcher. The Dodgers are a better team. But you can only – listen, it's tough to recover from losing too many minus 200s or minus 250s in baseball for summer. It's just – it's a mind-you-know-what when you lose those, if those matter, and it matters to me, and I would play alternate line. I would play alternate lines many, many times and play even harder and heavier. I'd rather lose 10-0, you know, and have it done in the first inning than be one of those guys that likes to hang around. No, I want to be in the game the whole time. No, if I'm going to lose, get it over with. Let's move on.
They do have probably their best like chance here. Freddie Freeman is up to start this inning here right now. You know, though, the Dodgers are just all going to swing for the fences. That's like he is, too.
Of course.
That's what they're going to do. I'm going to tie this game right now.